In 1835, a mathematician definitively proved that it is, well, fundamentally impossible to solve one of the universe's most important equations using standard mathematics.
Right, and for nearly 200 years, the scientific community essentially just accepted this broken rule.
Yeah, they just patched it over, you know, with workarounds and special exceptions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But a new paper has just proposed a completely different, I mean, almost audacious solution.
What if we stop trying to solve the problem within the existing rules and simply rewrite the foundational laws of math instead?
It is a wild concept.
It really is. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are exploring a wild intersection of theoretical mathematics, information theory, and like the philosophy of how we actually classify knowledge.
The source material driving our conversation today is this fascinating working paper and a set of theoretical notes dated May 7, 2026.
And what makes this document particularly compelling is its authorship, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's co-authored by human researcher Per Lindholm and an AI model known as Minimax M2.7.
Which is just...
It is a remarkable artifact just from a sociological perspective. You have human intuition wrestling with the strict, unyielding logic of a machine intelligence.
Yeah, and the result is a proposal that questions the very architectural foundations of calculus. Okay, let's unpack this. We are going to discover how changing the labels we put on things can completely transform our understanding of them.
Right.
We are starting with a stubbornly unsolvable 19th century calculus problem, and we are somehow going to end up mapping out the mechanical blueprints for how humans and machines fundamentally process information.
Process information, ask questions, and critically reduce uncertainty.
Exactly. So to kick things off, let's look at the stubborn math problem itself.
Mm-hmm.
We all know the Gaussian function, e to the negative x squared. It's like the backbone of probability, statistical mechanics.
It's physics, yeah.
Right. The shape of that function dictates how the universe distributes random variables, the classic bell curve.
But the problem arises not with the function itself, but when we attempt to integrate it.
Finding the area under the curve.
Yes. Finding the derivative of e to the negative x squared is trivial. I mean, you can find its instantaneous rate of change using basic rules. But finding its generalized integral...
Its mathematical origin story, basically.
Right. The function that describes the total accumulated area under that curve, that just hits a brick wall.
And the wall is built out of what we call elementary functions.
Yes.
For everyone listening, these are the foundational building blocks of all algebraic mathematics. We aren't just talking about basic arithmetic here.
No, we are talking about your exponentials, like e to the x... logarithms like the natural log of x, and fundamental trigonometry, you know, sine and cosine.
Let me use an analogy here. Think of elementary functions like a standard set of Lego blocks. You've got your 2x4s, your little single pegs, maybe some slanted roof pieces.
I like that.
With a standard set of Lego blocks, you can build almost anything in the universe, a spaceship, a castle, whatever. But Joseph Liouville's 1835 theorem proved that integrating e to the negative x squared is like... Well, it's like trying to build a perfectly smooth sphere using only those standard rectangular Lego blocks.
Exactly. No matter how you snap those specific Lego blocks together, you can never build the exact shape of that integral. It's a fundamental structural mismatch.
But why? Like, why is it mathematically impossible?
To understand why it's impossible, we have to look at the mechanism of Liouville's proof, which relies on something called differential Galois theory.
Right, Galois theory.
Which studies the symmetries of equations. It looks at how you can permute or, you know, swap around the roots of an equation without changing its underlying algebraic structure.
Okay.
Differential Galois theory applies the same concept to differential equations. The symmetries of all our elementary functions, your Lego blocks, form a specific closed mathematical group.
And Liouville demonstrated that the symmetry group required to represent the integral of e to the negative x squared simply does not fit inside that closed group.
Right. It simply cannot be built using any finite combination of those basic operations. It's an alien piece.
You literally cannot build the solution with the tools provided. So historically, what did mathematicians do? They essentially threw up their hands and created a workaround.
They did. They classified the result as a special function.
Yeah, specifically tying it to the error function, or ERF of x, multiplied by the square root of pi over 2.
They quarantined it, basically, outside the standard elementary dictionary.
Which feels a little bit like cheating, doesn't it?
Well, it's a pragmatic concession. It acknowledges that the algebraic structure just cannot be neatly undone by our standard vocabulary. But the source notes highlight a more, let's say, computationally honest alternative to the special function label.
Right, representing the integral as a convergent power series.
Yes. Instead of searching for one elegant closed-form equation, you represent the area as an infinite polynomial. You accumulate tiny updates, term by term, out to infinity.
So you're just adding smaller and smaller pieces forever.
Exactly. It is a perfectly exact representation of the geometry, but it surrenders the dream of an elementary solution. It requires an infinite amount of addition to describe a finite shape.
Okay, so if Galois theory proves we definitively cannot build this exact function with our current Lego blocks, we are left with a philosophical choice.
We are.
We can accept the infinite series, we can keep using the quarantine special function label, or, and this is what the 2026 working paper boldly suggests, we can just invent a completely new Lego block and force the dictionary to accept it.
Which is quite the leap. The authors propose the extended elementary function framework. And the core of their argument relies on observing a structural asymmetry in our current mathematics.
Walk us through that structural asymmetry.
Well, when you integrate x to the n, you get a power shift, right? It stays within the polynomial family.
Makes sense.
When you integrate e to the x, it is self-same. It just returns e to the x. But the Gaussian kernel, e to the negative x squared, is completely isolated. It has no structural partner in the established table of integrals.
It's an orphan.
Exactly, an orphan.
So Lindholm and the AI propose manufacturing a partner to give it a structural home. They introduce the quadratic Gaussian integral, or QGI.
And the definition itself isn't complicated at all. QGI of x is defined mathematically simply as the integral from 0 to x of e to the negative t squared.
Okay, but the innovation isn't just the formula itself, is it?
No, not at all. It is a relationship the authors establish around it. They define a crucial complementary relation rule.
Right, this is where it gets structural.
The proposal states that the QGI function, plus its exact complement, which they define as QGI bar of x, or simply x minus QGI, must perfectly equal x.
So mathematically, QGI of x plus its complement perfectly equals x.
That's the known area and the unknown complement snap together to form a perfectly linear progression, the straight line of y equals x.
Oh, wow. So because QGI serves as this natural structural complement to the Gaussian kernel in this linear relationship, the paper argues it should be elevated.
Precisely. It shouldn't be a special function anymore. It should be reclassified as an elementary function by definition.
Okay, wait. I am going to push back on this on behalf of anyone listening who might be feeling a bit skeptical right now.
Yeah, that's fair.
You can't just solve a 200-year-old mathematical blockade by changing the dictionary definition, can you? I mean, isn't that cheating? If a puzzle piece doesn't fit, taking a saw to the edges and declaring it a new standard shape feels like a linguistic loophole rather than a mathematical breakthrough.
I get that. And that skepticism is the natural immune response of anyone trained in strict formal logic. But the paper mounts a really robust philosophical defense here.
How so?
By pointing to the historical evolution of mathematics itself. I mean, we treat the natural logarithm, ln of x, as a fundamental immutable truth today, right?
Yeah, it's on every standard calculator.
But historically, it was originally defined simply as the integral of 1 over x. It was a bespoke invention created to bridge a specific gap in our capabilities.
Oh, I see.
And over time, its utility simply earned it a permanent place in the elementary canon.
So the boundary of what we consider elementary has always been a bit porous.
Inherently so. Furthermore, the authors explicitly state that redefining QGI as elementary does not violate Liouville's 1835 theorem.
It doesn't.
No. Liouville proved you cannot build the integral with the old vocabulary. The extended elementary function framework concedes that point entirely. It simply states that the old vocabulary is artificially restrictive.
So the mathematical object, the actual area under the curve, remains identical.
Exactly. What shifts is the classification framework. It's shifting to prioritize structural consistency and elegant symmetry over historical habit.
We're basically rewriting the rules of the game to make the universe look cleaner.
You could say that, yeah.
But here's where it gets really interesting. This working paper doesn't just stop at theoretical calculus. It takes this newly minted QGI classification and maps it directly onto human cognition and artificial intelligence.
Yes, this is the pivot.
The authors connect the math to a concept called the conditional collapse theory, or CCT, framed around ordinary differential equations.
This transition in the source material is where abstract algebra transforms to a mechanical blueprint for epistemology. the actual mechanics of how systems acquire knowledge.
Right. So in the CCT framework, mathematical integration is reinterpreted as the accumulation of state updates over time.
Think of state as your current level of understanding. Entropy, in this specific context, is uncertainty. Every time you ask a question and receive an answer, that uncertainty collapses.
And the paper argues that the rate at which your uncertainty decreases is perfectly modeled by the Gaussian kernel, e to the negative x squared.
Let's look closely at the mechanism of that collapse. The derivative, e to the negative x squared, represents the gradient of learning. As your knowledge state, let's call it x, moves forward from zero, the gradient dictates how much new information you are actually absorbing.
The paper includes a Gaussian question priority chart that quantifies this vividly, doesn't it?
It does. At state zero absolute ignorance, the collapse rate is at its maximum of 1.0.
You are absorbing massive insights with minimal effort.
But the decay is exponential. By the time your knowledge state reaches 1.0, the rate of uncertainty collapse drops dramatically to 0.368.
Wow, that's a steep drop.
And by state 2.0, the gradient has flattened out entirely to a mere 0.018. The math is illustrating the physical law of diminishing returns in information processing.
It's exactly like playing a game of 20 questions.
Yes.
Or, you know, even just how you scan a long, complex email from your boss. Your very first question in the game, like, is it a living thing, instantly eliminates half the universe of possibility.
Massive entropy collapse.
Exactly. You are operating at a rate of 1.0. But by your 19th question, you are no longer eliminating half the universe. You are just trying to narrow down if the living thing is a specific breed of terrier.
Right. You are fighting for microscopic gains in understanding at a rate of 0.018.
The map is literally mapping out the optimal greedy strategy for acquiring knowledge. You always hunt for the highest entropy collapsing data first.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the CCT system maps out a journey toward a stable conclusion. The system eventually reaches a theoretical state of complete understanding where entropy basically hits zero.
A fixed limit.
Yes. In this mathematical model, that fixed limit of total knowledge is permanently bounded at the square root of pi over 2, which is roughly 0.886.
That is the absolute ceiling of comprehension for a given subject in this framework. And this is where that complementary relation rule we discussed earlier becomes profoundly important.
Absolutely.
We define the complement as x minus the QGI. In this learning model, that complement isn't just a geometric mirror, is it?
No, it literally represents the remaining entropy. It is the mathematical manifestation of the questions you haven't asked yet. The uncertainty still haunting your state of belief.
The QGI, therefore, is not merely a trick to patch a hole in calculus.
Not at all. The authors are positioning it as the structural mirror for how any intelligence, whether biological synapses or silicon neural weights, dynamically updates its beliefs to reach a fixed point of understanding.
It is a stunningly elegant model. I mean, it makes the messy process of learning look like a perfect smooth curve.
It does.
Which, of course, brings us to the brutal reality check.
The reality check is harsh.
Because the source material, which I remind you, was co-written by a machine intelligence that processes data exactly like this, ruthlessly critiques its own application to the real world.
It's genuinely rare to see a theoretical paper dedicate so much energy to dismantling its own scaffolding.
Right. The notes outline 10 critical gaps that emerge when you try to force the messy reality of logic into this pristine mathematical framework.
They prioritize these 10 gaps systematically. You have axioms, initialization, termination, uncertainty, contradiction, computability.
We need to highlight a few of the most fascinating ones for you, because this is where the theoretical rubber violently meets the road.
Let's look at the gap they label uncertainty quantification.
Okay, yeah.
The QGI theory beautifully models entropy collapsing when you receive an answer. But the formula assumes the answer you received was fundamentally correct. It maps the feeling of certainty, not necessarily the actual truth.
And the paper specifically invokes the liar paradox to demonstrate this catastrophic failure point, doesn't it?
It does. This statement is false.
Right.
If an AI model feeds that paradox into its ordinary differential equation framework, the math has no mechanism to assign a confidence score to the collapse. The system registers an input, attempts to update its state, realizes the update contradicts the input, and just oscillates endlessly.
It gets completely stuck.
It cannot step outside the equation to say, I am 99% sure this specific data point is a trap.
Think about your own learning process for a moment. What do you do when two things you just read completely contradict each other.
Right.
If you read one dense financial report saying a stock is about to soar and another equally well-researched report saying it's about to crash, your brain doesn't just crash into an infinite loop.
Thankfully.
You pause. You weigh the biases of the authors. You hold both conflicting realities in tension until more data arrives.
You are utilizing a truth maintenance system. You have the cognitive flexibility to backtrack, isolate the contradiction, and quarantine it.
But this mathematical model currently just breaks down. It completely lacks a wrongness recovery mechanism.
Yes. If it makes a bad assumption at state zero, if its very first massive entropy collapse is based on a lie, it has no protocol for how to untangle the subsequent math and start over.
Right.
The error propagates infinitely through the calculus.
Which is terrifying if you're building an AI based on it.
Extremely. Which leads us to what is perhaps the most profound philosophical gap articulated in the text, the compression truth trade-off.
Oh, this part blew my mind.
The AI and the human researcher leave us with this brilliant, chilling quote in the notes. A highly compressed language may be wrong. A correct language may be uncompressible.
A highly compressed language may be wrong. I am struggling with this a bit because it almost seems to imply that our entire scientific pursuit of elegant equations like E equals MC squared might actually be blinding us to reality.
That's a sobering thought.
Like if we compress the universe into too neat of a package, we're inherently lying about how messy it is.
You are mapping the trade-off perfectly. This entire extended elementary function framework we've been discussing, it optimizes for beautiful, elegant compression. It wants the learning process to be a perfect, smooth QGI curve, perfectly balanced by its complement.
But reality doesn't work like that.
No, the brutal reality of actual science is often uncompressible.
Hmm?
If you want to perfectly model the chaotic turbulence of a muddy river, the shortest possible algorithm might just be a real-time recording of the river itself. Reality is full of exceptions, noisy data, and structural contradictions that defy a clean algebraic complement. A beautiful theory often shatters when it hits the uncompressible nature of truth.
So we have covered a massive amount of conceptual ground today.
We really have.
We started with the stubborn 1835 mathematical puzzle of integrating the Gaussian function e to the negative x squared. We saw how the authors bypassed the impossibility proof, not by breaking the rules, but by, well, redefining our standard elementary Lego blocks.
Expanding the dictionary.
Exactly. By introducing the QGI and its complement, they gave the function a structural home. And finally, we explored how this new classification serves as a mechanical blueprint for the conditional collapse theory, mirroring the rapid yet deeply imperfect way intelligence swallows uncertainty to gain understanding.
We traveled from the strict symmetries of differential Galois theory all the way to the messy epistemology of how a mind actually maps the world around it.
So what does this all mean? Ultimately, whether you are an AI algorithm updating your neural weights across a massive server farm, or you are a human scanning documents to prep for a critical meeting, your learning curve fundamentally resembles this Gaussian integral.
It's universal.
You hunt down the biggest, most fundamental insights first, riding that initial wave of massive entropy collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Then you inevitably hit the plateau. You spend the rest of your time chasing microscopic returns in the finer details, and you will always have to grapple with the remaining complementary unknowns, the entropy left uncollapsed.
And grappling with those permanent unknowns brings us to a final lingering thought. In the text's list of open problems, it explicitly references Gödel's incompleteness theorem.
Oh, Gödel. Always comes back to Gödel.
Always. Gödel proved that any sufficiently complex formal logical system will always contain true statements that simply cannot be proven within the boundaries of that system. There will always be structural gaps. If we can simply declare a new elementary function like the QGI to patch a frustrating hole in our calculus, where does that process actually end? Does the table of elementary functions inevitably have to grow infinitely large?
Oh, man.
We might find ourselves forever expanding our definitions, manufacturing new vocabulary just to chase down truths that the universe flatly refuses to simplify for us. It leaves you to ponder.
Yeah.
Do our mathematical categories actually describe the fundamental architecture of the universe? Or do they merely describe the limits of human patience?
A perfect question to leave hanging in the air. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.